You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So get this. Recent research has shown that young adults are living at home with their parents for longer stretches of time, or they're moving back after leaving the family home, earning them the title Boomerang Kids. In 2020, the PEW Research Center reported that more than half of the young adults between the ages of 25 to 35 in the United States were living at home, and a similar phenomenon was noted in Britain. Let's speak more on this with Warren Wilkinson, franchise principal and certified financial planner at Consult by Momentum. Warren, thank you so much for joining us this evening. How are you?
Thanks very much for having me, Dudu, and hi to all your listeners. Thanks for having me.
So let's maybe look at home, right? So we've spoken about how this research looked at the United States and noted a similar trend in Britain. What are we seeing in South Africa?
Well, in the 2018 statistics, South Africa reported that around 32.2% of households had more than one generation living under the roof, while at the same year, one of South Africa's financial services providers said around 42% of 18 to 34-year-olds were still living at home, a number which is expected to have climbed since the onset of the pandemic.
And that's just it, right? It's been a rough 2 years, and now we're, taking a look at the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. We're getting reports of monkeypox, which thankfully is not in South Africa. But what are some of the factors that have contributed to this?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think COVID has sort of shaken the world's tree to see really what matters in people's lives. I think a lot of people are looking a lot closer at what our needs and what our wants. And unfortunately, and for many parents, it's a privilege, in effect, to have their kids with them for as long as possible. But in this case, we're sitting with a scenario where even an average graduate degree will cost you 350,000 rand in debt, and it on average costs, according to a WIT study, 116,000 rand a year just to cover the bare essentials during those 4 years that you're getting your honors graduate degree. You know, so you know, you're sort of starting out in life as a let's say a 24, 25-year-old earning 22,500 rand and an income for your first year in today's terms, and you know, what are you left to live with at the end of the day? So we're just seeing a lot more families where children have got no other choice but to continue to lean into the provision from their parents' store.
And what are the knock-on financial effects on caregivers?
Well, you know, I mean, the one clear and obvious one is that the parents are unable to take that money that they were sort of spending towards the provision for their children for retirement planning. So we see a significant knock on their ability to plan for their own retirement. We've also sit with scenarios where even our parents today are looking after their parents as well. So there's a significant knock-on. It's not surprising then when one sees that 4% of South Africans are able to retire, you know. The other scary thing is a consequence of COVID, and also just as a consequence of the effects of automation and artificial intelligence, is we're seeing a lot more companies drawing back on the employment ratios. We've got scenarios where, because of automation and artificial intelligence, jobs won't be available in the next 20 years in certain sectors. In fact, a recent study showed that in 2032, 25% of the American workforce is going to be out of a job because of automation and artificial intelligence. And then companies themselves are just not doing employee benefits anymore. You know, they sort of pay you a salary and say, Dudu, listen, that's your salary and you've got a plan for your own retirement. So the fact that children aren't able to fly the coop and able to financially undertake for themselves earlier than what is required puts a lot of stress on the parents' ability to not only plan for retirement, but to be able to actually support their own children in those later times.
I do wonder then, Warren, about the importance of having honest conversations within households, right? To say, okay, this is how much we have, this is how much we can afford, this is what we can help with. We prioritize the education, but we're not necessarily going to prioritize the latest gadget or the latest shoe or the latest hairdo.
Yes. And I think together with that COVID consequence, we've seen a lot more families looking to unclutter their life And as you say, one of my simplest things to go to is to that budget of yours as a family, to sit down and discuss what are the things that are important, what are the things that are needs and what are wants. And also to look, we've seen a big trend towards a minimalist lifestyle. People understanding that through COVID they could do with a lot less. So now to find that extra 500 or 1,000 rand to put away for a rainy day or towards a specific objective of saving for your child's education. Because the other problem is our world is only so big. And with competitiveness, we find that we've got an ever-shrinking job market, and you need to have your child get the very, very best education that they can probably and possibly afford. So going back to the basics of budgeting and, as you say, having some seriously honest conversations about uncluttering our lives and becoming more savers as we are spenders at the moment, because as consumers, we're just not saving enough. You know, the Chinese save up to 30% of their income, where South Africans and the Americans save less than 1%. So we do need to change that that sort of narrative if we're going to give our kids the very best education possible.
You hear this term being bandied about a lot, the importance of generational wealth creation. Why is it important to plan for the future?
Well, I think intergenerational wealth creation is critical because if you know, it can take two or three generations to build up wealth. You know, the bulk of the wealth in the world at this point in time come from the baby boomers, you know, those who came out of World War II environment, and a significant portion of that wealth is sitting within families that need to transfer to the next generation. And quite frankly, a lot of them are not quite comfortable that they want to leave that kind of money to the current couple of generations. Because I think they probably just don't appreciate how long it takes to build that kind of wealth, but it can take a half a generation to wipe it out. So what you see is just, again, those honest conversations within family structures of what is the legacy we want to leave? What is the type of wise counsel and accountability governance structures that we want to put in place with something like a trust, a family trust with growth assets that you can ensure for in perpetuity to be a benefit to your heirs and their children and their children. So those type of conversations happen, and we see more of that happening with people becoming global citizens as their children also tend to go and find projects and work in other jurisdictions around the world. So we've seen a significant uptake in the need for wealthier families to really have deep conversations about their purpose and about the value system and how that fits into the philanthropic way in which they want to deliver their assets to the next generation.
Very interesting stuff. And at least one study confirmed that when children leave the family home, their parents typically consumed less but didn't necessarily save more. Your advice for those whose children have flown out the nest? Very quickly for us, please.
Yeah, I think the critical thing is to try and continue to pay your debt off as quickly as possible. We're sitting in a scenario where the cost of debt is increasing, another interest rate hike last week, to try and get your debt out of the way and continue to save those various buckets of needs in appropriate asset classes to grow your wealth in real terms ahead of inflation, to try and then catch up on the backlog of providing for retirement. Because unfortunately, with longevity, most of us are going to live deep into the 90s because of medical advances. So we do need to make sure we have sufficient funds set aside to provide for our retirement lifestyle.
Warren Wilkinson, Franchise Principal and Certified Financial Planner at Consult by Momentum.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.